Faith is a verb. Faith is a verb. Faith is action. Faith is putting what we believe into action. Faith, and we've used the letters of the word faith. F stood for forgive one another. How many of you know we need to forgive one another? And forgiveness is not only good for the person you're forgiving, but it's imperative for you. So the scripture says if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Second, we were taught through this lesson that the second letter, A, stands for accept one another. And we can put our faith in action, can't we, by accepting one another, accepting people at the point of their need. And there's lots of folks who need to find acceptance in this day and time that's hurting and broken. We need to learn to accept one another. And then we talked about instructing one another. God has called each one of us to teach and be teachable. How many of you know it's not just good enough to say I can teach a lesson, but we need to always stay teachable. And you'll never grow as a person if you're not teachable, if you don't let God teach you. And share. And God uses people in his plan. He uses one another to teach. And we saw that in the scriptures last week. And today's message is called Talk to One Another, talking to one another as we learn to communicate the things that God has for us in our life. We're going to see how that all happens. Now, there's a few things I wanted to share with you just real quickly and get into the Word. These are some facts. I didn't know some of these facts until recently. I got this in an email. And the scripture talks about the fact that it says, "Be not deceived." In Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And we live in a world where people have mocked God. Not only have they mocked him, and I'm going to share a few people that are kind of popular, but people mock God all the time just by not trusting in him for their daily life. God says, "I'll meet all your needs." And we try to meet our own needs. Amen? God said, "I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you or forsake you." And yet we still try to find life on our own. John Lennon, anybody remember him? He was a singer and played with the Beatles. Some years before his death, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain." And then he said, "Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today," talking about the Beatles, he says, "today we are more famous than Jesus." He said that in 1966. Lennon, after saying that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ, was shot 6 times. Man will not mock God. If you're a Beatles fan, I'm sorry, you don't mock God. A guy named Tancredo Neves, was a president of Brazil at one time. During the presidential campaign, he said if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God would remove him from presidency. Sure, he got the votes, but he got sick a day before being made president and he died. A man will not mock God. Cazuza, a bisexual Brazilian composer and singer and poet, during a show in Rio de Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke in front of this crowd into the air and said, "God, that's for you." He died at the age of 32 of AIDS in a horrible manner. The man who built the Titanic, you can probably guess this one. After the construction of a Titanic, a reporter asked him how safe the Titanic would be. With an ironic tone, he said, "Not even God can sink it." Well, you know the results. I think we all know what happened to the Titanic. We've seen the movie. Marilyn Monroe, an actress, famous actress. She was visited by a great evangelist. You might recognize his name. His name's Billy Graham. Just got out of the hospital this week, by the way. Keep him in your prayers. Billy Graham, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Billy Graham and said to go and minister to and preach to Marilyn Monroe. And after hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, "I don't need your Jesus." A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. A guy named Bon Scott, he's a singer and ex-vocalist for a group, some of you might remember, AC/DC. On one of his 1979 songs, he sang, "Don't stop me, I'm going down all the way, down the highway to hell." And on the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had been choked by his own vomit. Don't mock God. This happened in 2005 in Campinas, Brazil. A group of friends got in a car drunk, and they were going to go pick up a friend. And the mother of one of the girls that was going to get in the car accompanied her to the car and was so worried about the drunkenness of her friends, she said to the daughter, holding her hand, who was already seated in the car, "So my daughter, go with God, and may he protect you." She responded, "Only if he," that is God, "travels in the trunk, because inside here it's already full." Hours later, the news came. There was an accident. Everyone in the automobile had a fatal end. Everyone had died. They tell that the car could not be recognized what type of car it had been, but surprisingly, the trunk was intact. The police said there was no way the trunk could have remained intact, and to their surprise, inside the trunk was a crate of eggs. None were broken. I think I'd rather been in the trunk. And last, Christine Hewitt, a Jamaican journalist and entertainer, said the Bible, that is the Word of God, was the worst book ever written. In June 2006, she was found burnt beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. Why I say those things? Well, I'm not going to say that everybody that says something bad is going to, you know, have that kind of an end. But let me just tell you that God is real. We live in a real world. And we live for a real God. And the Bible says God is not to be mocked. And I believe that it's important that we learn, as we walk through this life, that we learn to talk to one another. We learn to encourage one another, build one another up in the things of the Word, to realize that God is involved in life. He's not way up there somewhere. And he comes involved just in those few minor little occasions. God is involved in our life. And we need to learn that God has called each one of us to be a part of seeing life happen. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us to talk to one another. But inside every one of us is a place. If Jesus is not there, it's void. And only Jesus can fit in that void. Only Jesus can fit in that place. Now people try to fill it, that spot, with all kinds of things like alcohol and drugs. Even now we have people who are cutting themselves for attention, to get to feel their pain. They try to make their pain that's internal, external, by cutting their body. We have people in our world today who try to find everything they can, sexual fulfillment, all that, to try to get the pain to stop and to somehow fill the void that we have in our life. And I'm here to tell you the only one that can really fill the void of your life is Jesus Christ. It's important that we, the church, look at these issues and realize that people that we love and care for and people that we're coming in contact with are facing these kinds of issues every day in their life. Just because maybe you haven't dealt with it in your life today doesn't mean that other people aren't. And God has called us to talk to one another. Some of you have been there. Some of you have been there in your life, maybe not all of those things, but maybe somewhere in your life you've depended on somebody else, something else besides Jesus to fill the void in your life. The Bible gives us responsibilities as his kids that if we're going to have faith, if we say we believe in God, if we say that we believe that God is real, then we have a responsibility to talk about him and to talk to one another and encourage one another about what he can do. Because every person that you meet has a void in their life that can only be filled by the person of Jesus Christ. There's a whole generation of young people that we're trying to reach, young people from very small children all the way through into college that have missing places in their life. They're trying to meet those needs through some other way. And you might ask yourself, why would you be so strong on a Sunday morning? Why would you? Because that's the real world we live in. And every single day there are people losing their life, either physically or more importantly, they're losing their life spiritually because they're trying to find something that will meet the void. It'll fill the void in their life. And only Jesus can fill that void. In the video you saw the different addictive behaviors that Caleb portrayed, but you saw that at the end, those things that we have placed in the hearts of our kids and those that we love and those things that we've talked about and shared about, that's what comes back. The Bible says his word will never return void, but it'll fulfill the thing for which it was sent. So keep speaking the word. Keep talking to one another. Keep speaking to one another. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then through worship and praise and prayer, you're not going to feel empty at all, but you have this filled place, then you want to share that with everybody you can in your life. I believe that when people get saved and filled with God's Spirit, in the innermost being, the Bible calls it the inner self, that innermost being will be filled and will flow rivers of living water out of it. See, we should be so filled with Jesus that he's flowing out of us like a river. What I see in many Christians today is that we believe certain things, but our faith never gets to action. Our faith never walks past the idea that we believe we're going to go to heaven and really realize that we're out to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. God's called us to that. There are people out in the world that Caleb's portraying in this video that's very, very much like that and sometimes even worse. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to talk to them? We're called. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll want to do that. Now, the Bible says there in that passage that we read, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called to not only speak to one another, but we're called to speak to him, to one another in certain ways. We're to encourage one another in praise. This text instructs our interaction of praise in our life. Paul tells the Ephesians, speak to one another. Talk to one another. Using three very important things. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'll explain what those are in just a moment. So as we began to enter a gathering of believers, even with a small offering of praise, our worship begins to be magnified, and as we join with others, their voices encourage us, and we begin to inspire one another. That's why when we come to church and we're worshiping, worship is not an option. It's not a spectator sport. It's not something we get to do because, oh, I feel like it today. Worship is the call of our heart. And it's one of the ways the scripture says, Paul said, that we speak to one another, encourage one another, and build one another up. It's through worship. So when Steve normally is leading, or today I'm leading worship, it's not just about making the worship leader happy because you're singing the songs. It's about realizing that something's going on in the spirit when we worship. People's hearts are being changed. Say, well, you know, today I'm a little tired. I stayed up too late last night. Or maybe it's like me, you're taking too much pain medicine. Whatever it is that keeps you distracted, I pray that God would bring your heart to attention today to realize that we gather here to this place today, not to just do our homage of religion, but to touch the throne of the Father. And by doing so, we will reach one another. We'll touch one another in that very special way. That's why the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but do it all the more as you see the day approaching. That was not said so church attendance numbers would be up. It was said because the writer realized what Paul is teaching here, that when we come together in God's presence, he does something in our life that changes us forever. You cannot be in the presence of God and stay the same. Something happens. And so we are called as his kids to worship. And when we begin to deprive ourselves and separate ourselves from the local assembly, then we begin to deprive our relationship with God of its strength. So we need to assemble often and praise much and encourage one another in praise. And then lastly, continually be filled. Continually being filled. Continually. The tense of the Greek in Ephesians 5:19 is really this kind of a statement. It says, be filled with the Spirit, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. Day in, day out, moment by moment, be being filled with the Spirit. You know, probably because how pointed the message is of that video, and maybe some other things, we're a little quiet in here today, but the truth is, as I'm telling you the truth, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And the thing that's missing in the church today, in my opinion, is that God's church is had an experience with God at some point, but Paul says, be being filled with the Spirit constantly, always allowing him to fill you, always filling you with his presence, always. And the way we do that is through praise, one of the ways, and through his word is another way. Always be being filled. You say, well, you know what? I got saved and I got filled with the Spirit, and you know, I read my Bible once a month or so, and you know, listen, the scripture calls us to be being filled with the Spirit. There needs to be this anxious desire within all of us, a drive within all of us to be filled with the Spirit. And to consistently be being filled with the Spirit. And I think one of the things that really concerns me is I see that much of the church is kind of turned that part off. Well, we'll go to church, we'll have our little drama, we'll have our little sermon, we'll have our little few songs to worship with, we'll have communion and throw it in there every once in a while, and hallelujah and amen, I did my church thing. But it's not enough. We must be being filled with the Spirit every day, continually being filled. That we do that through worship. We do it through the Word. Now look at these three words, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms here would represent scriptural lyrics to songs. How many of you guys have been around long enough to remember back when we actually used to sing songs right out of the Bible? Anybody remember back that far? And that, I mean, the words are right in the scripture. And the reason why a lot of that stopped was because everybody started bringing different translations. And but, you know, we would sing, we'd go to the Psalms and we'd sing things like, "Give ear to my words, O God." Remember that song? And we sing it right out of Psalms 5. One of the things it did for us is that it gave us an opportunity to go to the Word and remember the Word through singing. May I encourage you to be a person who just, even if you're not a singer, just in your own personal time with God, to just go to the Psalms and just sing them. Put a tune to them. You say, well, it sounds kind of weird. Nobody's watching but you and God. He doesn't care if you sing good or not. In fact, he gave us a way off the hook. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm pretty good at that joyful noise thing. But I encourage you to go to a Psalms 5 and sing that before the Lord. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. What a beautiful psalm. Some of us don't get up in the morning, much less sing to him in the morning. How many of you know it's important for us to get into that place where we begin to sing the Word of God? Sing it. Put a tune to it. And through putting a tune to it, you begin to let it get down in the deep parts of your heart. So I challenge you in your prayer time, in your time with God, and I'm assuming you have one, go to him and just take a psalm or take another place in the scripture and just sing it unto him. Wouldn't that be incredible that we could just do that, that we just learn how to sing, as it were, a psalm to the Lord? It doesn't have to be out of the book of Psalms, although that's kind of an easy place because it happens to be, most of it's written as poetry, and so it already has kind of a prose to it. It has almost a musical note to it, and so you can learn how to do it. But you can learn how to go to other places in the scripture, and I'm looking for a particular one here. How about something like this? See if you ever remember this song. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will save and rejoice over thee with joy, with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty, is mighty. Isn't that a great song? Zephaniah 3:17. I encourage you to sing songs unto God, lyrics right out of the scripture. Number two, I encourage you to sing hymns. That's what we sing here. We sing a hymn today, but Pastor Kenton led us in The Power and the Blood, one of my favorite hymns of all time. And I love that old hymn of the church. It's wonderfully, but it's not just, doesn't just mean hymns like ones in the hymn book. It's songs that are humanly inspired lyrics in a song. What I'm afraid of is some of our modern songs have very little to do with Jesus. It has very little to do with the true God that we worship. I encourage you to focus on songs that sing the scripture and sing the truths of God's word in your life. How many of you are aware of a group or a ministry called Hosanna Integrity? You heard that? Hosanna Integrity puts out hundreds of worship CDs. Many of them are incredible. They have great songs in there. Pick out the songs in there that speak of the glory of the Lord, that speak of his presence, that speak of Jesus personally. There's a few songs out on the market today that you could sing it to your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or you could sing it to God. Wouldn't matter. You just have to have whatever you're thinking about at the time. You can't tell that it's to God. It's just a nice love song, but it's not necessarily written to him. I encourage you to get songs that are focused upon the Savior. Amen? Hymns. And then the last one's very important, spiritual songs. These are impromptu rhythmic lyrics given by the Holy Spirit in one's language or in your prayer language, in tongues. And you can sing to the Lord. We do that in service sometimes. You'll hear those of us who lead and other people too begin to sing, "We worship you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify your name. Most holy is the name of the Lord our God." Those are spiritual songs in English. And then there's times when, in my private prayer time especially, that I'll just begin to sing in a language of the Spirit, my spiritual language, and begin to sing unto God songs out of our hearts. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15 to 17 says, "Well, then, what shall I do? I will do both. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in words I understand. For if you praise God only in the Spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God along with you? How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you are saying? You will be giving thanks very nicely, no doubt, but it doesn't help the other people present." And so in our public gatherings, it's nice that we have the words up here. And it's also really nice when the actual words we're trying to sing are up there at the same time we're trying to sing them. Because we don't know the songs, and so we don't learn them, and that's the only tool we have. And so, please, don't get distracted by anything that's around you. We're called to worship the Lord. And when we do, we open up the possibilities of the God of heaven speaking into our lives and changing our hearts. Worship is very, very important for that. And so, as we look at faith, one of the things way we put faith into action is to worship. Paul was always teaching about balance, as he taught in the Word, especially in these areas of the Spirit. And I like it in the next verses after what I just read. He says, you know what? He said, in church, I'd rather speak, you know, five words of understanding that many might be encouraged, but rather than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue where nobody understands what you're saying and can't be encouraged by it. But he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. You know, many people have interpreted that and thought that Paul was just being kind of cocky and maybe a little bit overconfident. Paul realized that in his personal prayer life, if he was going to face the things he was going to face, he had to be a person who knew how to sing and pray in the Spirit. And I want to challenge you, if you've never done that, if you've never been filled with the Spirit and received your prayer language, I earnestly encourage you to hunger and thirst after it and go for it and be filled with the Spirit. As simple as this. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God Himself, the Holy Spirit, desires to come dwell in the hearts of each one of us. He comes and dwells within us when we get saved. We call that the indwelling. But then there's this other work that Acts chapter 2 talks about and the other subsequent chapters in Acts and throughout the Corinthians, where we can then be filled with the Spirit. And it's kind of a second work or a separate work from our salvation. And if you want to hunger deeper and go deeper, then you get hungry to be filled with the Spirit. And that's why Paul said Ephesians 5, be being filled with the Spirit. He knew it wasn't a one-time experience. When I got filled with the Spirit the first time, I've told this story before, but I'll say it again. I was at a camp, and there was all these people up in the front praying for people to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal organization, so I know about being filled with the Spirit. But there's people down there, you know, and some preacher usually with sweaty armpits. you know, was speaking into their face, and a couple of other older people were like rubbing their back, you know, and they're getting the Pentecostal back rub, and they're kind of shaking them like this, and the person's sitting there going, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And so they're shaking them a little bit more and rubbing them a little bit harder, and they'd say, say Jesus, and they go, Jesus, that's it, you just spoke in tongues. And then they wondered why when they got home they could never do it again. Now, I'm all for being emotional. Emotions don't bother me. But when I got filled with the Spirit, I walked right past all of that. I didn't want any part to do with that. And I walked up on the platform, and I walked on the very back part of the platform, and I knelt down by myself, and I began to pray. And this guy I'd known most all my life, his name's Joe McKissick, came up to me, and he said, Ron, what are you up here? Well, he actually called me Ronnie, but for short, Ron. He said, Ron, what are you up here for? And I said, Joe, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, I want you to pray this prayer. And I said, okay. And he said, say, dear Jesus. I said, dear Jesus. He said, fill me with your Spirit. I said, fill me with your Spirit. And he said, amen. And I said, amen. And the next word sounded like this. Ula shahala bakuj. And I just began to speak in a language I'd never heard before. There wasn't any, you know, nothing. It was as simple as that. The transaction of the gift of the Spirit that comes into your life when you ask. Paul wouldn't have said be being filled with the Spirit if it was so hard that we have to manipulate some kind of emotional experience out of it. God wants to fill each of us with the Spirit. Not only did that happen, but in Acts chapter 2, when they first were filled with the Spirit in Acts 2, where they began to speak in other tongues, two chapters later, they're getting filled with the Spirit again. Same people. You say, well, I thought they already had it. They did. They just wanted more of Him. And I have a feeling that a couple of days later, they were getting filled again because they just wanted more of Him. And that hunger to be filled with the Spirit is what caused the church to grow so quickly. Is that people were in love with God. And they wanted everything He had for them. Everything. They wanted it all. They were pumped for it. And if somebody said, hey, anybody here need to get filled with the Spirit? I'll do it again. Not because they didn't think it happened back then. They just want more of Him. You know, if I had one longing as a pastor, if I had one prayer request, it would be that this church would just want to be with Jesus a lot. That they just want everything He's got, not just in words, but in their prayer life. Oh, God, today, I want all that You have. Fill me to more with You. Fill me to overflowing with You. Fill me with who You are. And they just receive that power and that resurgence of God's grace in their life. And the next day they get up, oh God, I want more of You. I want everything You got, Lord. Pour it on me. I want to be so filled with You. I could not be possibly filled with anything else because there'd be no room for drugs or alcohol or pornography or sexual sin or any of those other things. I wouldn't have any room for it. Just be so filled with the Spirit. If I had one thing that I pray about more than anything else in all the church life is I pray that we would be a church like that. That just every day we go, oh God, I want more of You, God. Fill me with more of You, God. I don't want the false stuff that gives me a fleeting feeling. I want the real deal, God, every day. That's my prayer request for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, I just ask You right now to help us to be encouraged. As we watched this very pointed video, it shows people that are just looking to have their selves filled with you, but they've tried to find it in all the wrong places. Try to find it in alcohol and drugs. Try to find it in sexual experience. They try to find it in even cutting themselves or even trying to take their life. And they just keep coming up empty and more empty. And it's our call as your church to be so filled with you that every person that comes our way, every person we come in contact with, that they'll be hungry for what we have. That we'll live a life so filled with you that people say, I don't know what it is about you, but I want what you've got. Lord, help us to be those kind of Christians in this day. I know what it did in the New Testament church. One day, 5,000 people were saved. And another day, 3,000 people were saved. And not only that, but you said in your word that you added to their number daily those who were being saved. Not just on weekends, not just on Wednesday nights, not just in service time experience, but every day people were coming to know you. And it all happened because there was a group of people, a nucleus of people who just said, I want more of God. I want more of you. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, please, no one looking around. For just this moment, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never said yes to the Savior of the world. He loves you so much and He wants to come and take up residence in your life today. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you've done that at some time in your past, but you know you're not living where you need to live with the Lord. And you'd like Jesus to come into your life, either for the first time or recommitting your life. Would you just, right there where you're seated, lift your hand up, put it back down again. I just want to pray for you. I need Jesus in my life today. Anyone like that? Maybe you say, Pastor Ron, look, I just want to be like that person you just described that's so hungry for God every day that the cry of my heart each morning would be, God, fill me with more of you. If you want to be that kind of person, I want to pray for you that God just propels your heart towards Him. And if that's you right there where you're seated, put your hand right up, put it down again. Good, I see your hand. Yeah. Oh, God, make us those kind of people. And I pray that those who raise their hand, Lord, all over this place, that you would just every morning remind them. Every day, throughout the day, remind them of how hungry they are for you. Give them the desire, the drive, the push, all that it takes to cry out for more of you and more of your presence, more of your purpose in their life. God, I pray that you would just do that so much for them. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who's never been filled with the Spirit but's hungry to be filled with the Spirit, I pray, God, that you would touch their life right now. That out of that hunger, they will come. Talk to one of our leaders, Pastor Kenton or myself or some of the others, staff, and we'll help them pray so they can be filled with the Spirit. Let us be hungry for you, Lord, and thirst after you. You said, Lord, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we'll be filled. I want to be filled with you, Lord. More and more every day, filled with your presence, filled with your purpose, filled with your peace, filled with all that you are, God. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.